this week's edition of the Marlena program. I'm Marlena, and it is a joy to be with you. It is Christmas, and it's Christmas in the Northwest.
Might be a rainy night, but there's nothing like sharing the sounds and the sights of Christmas in the Northwest. It's a gift that we can share.
Oh, Christmas in the Northwest, it really is a gift. I tell you what, we are having, let me get my little microphone settled down here. How unprofessional of me. But I'm very excited tonight, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. But we are having snow. It is snowing in Seattle. Now, I don't know why it's snowing in Seattle, but it is. And so we are totally unaccustomed to this situation here. However, we're going to make the best we can make of it. I've got my apple cider tea here at hand, and I am getting all cozied up, and I've got on a nice, snuggy, warm velour shirt and top, shirt and pants, and just trying to keep warm here in the Northwest. I tell you, it's 30 degrees. We're not used to this. We're just not used to it. We got a great guest tonight, but I am going to ask Gary, the board guy, when he hears this, to please possibly reinitiate the call, because there seems to be some odd sounds going on the phone patch. But maybe not. If I would turn the right buttons here, we'd get it all done. We need Gary to reinitiate the call, Mr. Gary, if you would, please. And Brian, I think you can hear me. And if you would just hang up and we'll start this out again. I tell you, the gremlins are in the software here. I'm not quite sure what's going on with all of that. But Gary, if you would reinitiate the call, that would be grand. And while Gary is doing that, let me do a little bit of housekeeping here and let you know that if you're listening to this program and any time between the hours of 8 and 10 in the East Coast and 5 to 7 Pacific on a Sunday night in North America, or if you're crazy enough to be up from 1 to 3 universal time around the world, like in Europe, that is like so late or so early, then you're listening live. The toll-free number to call is 866-666-7926. 866-666-7926 is the toll-free number. And if you're listening at any other time, hey, you've got a replay. And by gosh, I am so happy that you would take the time to listen to the replay. That is just very cool. And Gary is telling me now that we've got our guest on, so we're gonna just bring our guest in here. We usually do things a little more smoothly than this, but hey, I haven't been on for so long, and now I'm here, and so we're gonna get this all going on right. My guest tonight is someone who I don't know at all. So this will be quite an experience for me as well. His name is Brian Duffelmeyer. And so who is Brian Duffelmeyer, you would say? Well, Brian Duffelmeyer was committed enough to the American Council of the Blind to pay his hard-earned money to co-host this show tonight. And so that's what we're going to do. And Brian is going to kind of lead the conversation, and we're going to see where it goes. I want to do one very special thing, though, now that we've got everything all settled down here and I've just gotten confirmation of something. I want to do one very, very special thing on a personal note before we begin with Brian. I had the joy of my life yesterday when, after too many years of being out of communication, my brother and I, Joe Vino, in North Reading, Massachusetts, made contact with each other. And we have been two emailing fools ever since then. We have been crying together and laughing together and remembering together. And my brother Joe is listening to this program tonight. And so I am dedicating this program to my brother. And I've always wondered what it would be like to have someone in my family hear my show, and now I have my brother. So welcome on in, Joda. That's his nickname, is Joda. So Joda is listening. All right, enough. We're going to bring our guest in. Hey, Brian, what's going on?
Hey, we finally got out of the echo chamber.
Holy moly, I tell you what, I don't know what that was all about. That was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was sure different.
Yeah, well, you know, my phone patch has been acting up a little bit, and I'm not quite sure what that's all about, but whoops, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still
oh,
here.
Oh, good. Okay. But at least we got it fixed now, and you're here. Well, now, Brian, you paid good money to be on this show. Now, what did you do that for?
Well, one of the things I did it for was that, I'm involved not only, I'm getting more and more involved all the time with the state organization, ICB.
Mm-hmm. And why don't you tell people what ICB is?
Well, it's the Illinois Council of the Blind, and I've been involved last year as their public relations chairman. And
wow.
I thought, what better way to highlight some of the things that are going on in ICB and just, you know, different things in general and some of the programs that we have, to take a national opportunity and run with it.
Well, that's fabulous. That is fabulous. Well, before we talk about ICB, let's chat a little bit about you. So who is Brian Duffelmeyer?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess we all kind of figure that out as we go along in our lives. But I was born in 1964. And so you can tell them just almost in my mid-40s.
Cause oh, honey, you're young. You're young.
Well,
you're
yes.
a kid. You're
I'm
a kid.
Not, I'm not quibbling. I have no problem at this point. I was born in 1964. And as far as education, I was just at the beginning of the mainstreaming effort. I was in central Illinois, and I started out in schools about 40 miles away. It wasn't the Illinois School for Blind or any of the schools, in that vein, but it was just as they were starting the mainstreaming experiments.
Mm-hmm.
And Bloomington Normal, they have the, you know, Illinois State University, and they
mm-hmm.
have kind of around there, they have different schools and stuff, and they had one of the Medcalf lab schools was starting programs, which, you know, you'd be in a regular classroom part of the day and part of the day, getting special instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this I'm not really sure. I think I did this for kindergarten and first grade, and it's 2 or 3 years of kindergarten and then first grade. So, that goes back a lot of years, but at any rate, that was my first. That's where it got started. That's where I got my first beginning Braille instruction, which, by the way, was excellent.
Mm-hmm. And you were very fortunate because a lot of our colleagues have not had excellent Braille instruction. You and I are among those very fortunate blind people that really did get good Braille.
Yes. Yes, and I've always loved, I've been a reader, both in auditory format and tactily, all, you know, since the beginning. I was fortunate. My mom was, you know, always read a ton of things to me. I had, you know, grandparents that would read. And so, and of course I had, you know, got connected pretty early with the library, National Library Service system. And I had got a number of, you know, Braille books and read that way as well. And so I just, you know, from the beginning and on through, I've never lost that desire or interest in reading. And so then, you know, as over the years went, second, third, and fourth, then I moved considerably closer to home, and then moved again in fifth grade to another school, and then sixth, seventh, and eighth junior high. With they'd started the middle school stuff by then, and that was in another school in the same town as I'd been in fifth grade. And then by the time I got to high school, I was in my home high school.
Now, let me ask you, you know, there's often discussion on the email lists about blind kids feeling isolated, you know, not being able to kind of get hooked in with the sighted kids. And, I mean, you know, I just mentioned my brother a few minutes ago, and I'll probably mention him a million more times because I'm so happy he's back in my life. But,
and by the way, that's such a cool thing.
Oh, that my really God. Awesome. You have no idea how cool
that
it is.
That is so awesome.
But my brother really was so responsible in our neighborhood for not letting the kids disassociate from me. I mean, you know, my brother, when we were little kids, I mean, of course, we fought like cats and dogs. Every sister and brother do, but
sure.
nobody could mess with his little sister outside. And so I never really experienced, you know, not being played with or not being, you know, that the whole kind of getting hooked in. And I wonder if you experienced any of that, and how did you deal with it?
I don't think I really, if I did experience it, I didn't really notice it. I mean, it wasn't anything that I really thought about. I mean, there might have been times, you know, there might have been certain times and certain occasions when, you know, maybe the kids were doing a certain activity or whatever, that there might have been, that there was, you know, some exclusion. But as a general rule, you know, time after time, I didn't particularly notice it. You know, I got bonked by plenty of dodgeballs, you know, that sort of thing. I do have a sister, and, you know, she's a terrific, terrific sister, but she'd do things like, you know, throw a ball, hit me in the head, and then say, and then tell me that she forgot I was blind, you know, things like that. I'm not sure whether, you know, you're never really sure whether that's true or not, but it happens. But I don't, you know, again, there were probably moments when, you know, times when I felt that, but not as a general rule, and it wasn't something I sat back and analyzed.
Yeah, and I think you know, I think that it's healthy to be as connected as we can, and you know, just go on. You just do what it is you got to do.
Well, if you know, if it isn't one thing or another, that there's probably very few kids that are 100% connected all the time. There's always something. You're either too short, or you know, you can't hear, you can't see, or you know, you don't have the right color of this, or the, you don't have the. There's always something, and it isn't always what we call a quote disability, end quote, that can lead to that sort of thing. I think most people, it's not something that dominates. It's when it does that it's unfortunate.
Well, we're going to open the lines. We're going to still keep on chatting, and we're going to open the lines. It's 866-666-7926. Brian is the host tonight. What we'll do, Brian, is if we get a call, I'll tell you we got a call, and you can say you're on the Marlena program with Brian or whatever it is you want to say. It's your show, baby. So what? 667926. What do you think about mainstream education in public school versus school for the blind education?
Well, you know, it's tough because I think the tough thing about it is you hate to say, okay, this is the way it has to be, and this is the way, you know, you hate to take away too much people's choice. But at the same time, you know, let's put it this way. I have a hard time understanding why blind children with no other handicaps, okay, really, to me, the benefits of being around and with family are pretty powerful. I know they need good instruction, but, you know, we really ought to be able to pull this off without having to take those particular students, especially, take them out of their family environment and stick them someplace where they, you know, home is the hotel away from home. There's just something that strikes a chord that I'm not saying that you know, I'm not going to go back through the arguments and saying, well, if you go to a school for the blind, you know, you're not going to get a good education, or you're going to get there's too many people with too many conflicting stories, and like with anything, there's good schools and bad schools on both sides.
All right.
I don't think that's the issue.
We have a call. Are you ready?
Okay.
Go for it, Brian.
This is Brian Delphemeyer. You are on the Marlena program. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, this is Roger Peterson.
Hello, Mr. Roger.
You're sometime Bits Luncheon Table Companion.
Yes, a blast from the past.
And wanted to call and say hello. And on this topic of mainstreaming and so forth, I have a weird sense of how it goes, because I've always had the feeling that I was something, that I was different, that I was kind of a weirdo or a geek or whatever you want to call it. And a lot of times I've been isolated, but I was certainly as much isolated at the a school for the blind that I went to as I ever was in mainstream. I went to the Idaho School for the Deaf and Blind up through the sixth grade, and then my parents moved to Portland. And I want to tell you that I started in a mainstreaming program 10 years before you were born, Ryan.
Yeah, me too.
Very good. apparently they were doing some things in other places earlier.
Yeah,
yeah. We had an itinerant program in Portland in 1954.
Yep.
And it was a good one, I think, in a lot of ways. And one of the things they did was, first of all, it wasn't as spoon-fed as later programs seemed to be. It was kind of still gave some, there was some necessity of the individual student figuring out how to work things. And one of the things they did was they had a timesheet voucher system where I could actually pay my fellow students to read to me.
Oh, my.
They had timesheets, and I signed them, and my classmates got 75 cents an hour to read to me.
Oh, nice.
And that gave me some notion of reader management and so forth. But anyway, after I got into mainstreaming, it was a lot better, really, for me, because being different, being one of the things I have to say is that being characteristics that don't go together in the minds of a lot of special ed people.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be one or the other. And I felt very much different from the general run of students. I wasn't interested so much in sports. I wasn't interested so much in the music that they were listening to and so on. But the major problem I had after I mainstreamed was that I changed schools. Sounds like you changed schools a few times, too. My freshman year in high school, I went to one school, and then my sophomore year, a new school opened, which was closer to me, and I got to go there. And things were working out pretty well there. In fact, I was that school's first sophomore class president.
Cool.
And then, but then my parents moved outside from downtown, from in Portland, out to Beaverton, which is a suburb of Portland. And the last 2 years in school at Beaverton, I really kind of felt that as though I was hooked in. I was not a band member, but the band became sort of a band groupie.
Okay.
My senior year, I was in love with a girl who played the oboe, and she played the oboe in the concert band and the glockenspiel in the marching band.
So you're saying you had a little oboe.
And I was also in the ham radio club, and I helped start the German club, and so I really felt there, and it was in the science club too. So I really felt that by the time I, you know, had to be well with the people I wanted to be hooked in with, and I didn't care much about the rest.
Yeah.
And then in college, the same thing worked out.
Sure.
That's kind of interesting because I'm just going to jump in here if it's all right with my host, Brian. it's kind of interesting because for me, it was a bit of the reverse. I felt really, really hooked in grammar school and middle school and until I was a junior in high school. And I mean, I really felt hooked in and I, you know, as I got older, I mean, I was dating people in school and I had, you know, a best friend and I was in the pep squad and, you know, I mean, I did all those things. I was in the glee club. I was on the debate team. And all of a sudden, I had this huge desire to find out what other blind people were like. It took me over. And much to my parents' distress, I transferred to Perkins in the middle of my junior year because I felt like, yes, okay, I know I can be a success with people who see. Now I have to find out what are blind people like. Because I only knew, like, maybe 10 blind people in my whole existence, and I just wanted to know if they were like me.
That didn't happen to me till later, till college. And I got involved in... We got a group of us blind students at the University of Oregon got to talking about the problems of getting textbooks and things like that, and I got more interested in the blindness. And of course, at that time, by the way, I'm just reading the People of Vision, the ACB history,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
Remembering what it was like to be in the midst of all that. And it was kind of funny. One of the people they mentioned, who was one of the writers about the Civil War, so-called, when it happened, was George Hoheweiler from Oregon. And he was the first contact I had with the Oregon Commission for the Blind when I got to Portland. it's kind of fun to personalize all that stuff that was going on.
It almost seems as if the major difference there, Roger, was that you sort of slid into it little by little, and Marlena sort of jumped whole hog, and
well,
it was so much at once that sort of threw her off.
Yeah,
that's the way Marlena
that's
is.
That's the way I am, Brian. That's right.
Well, you know, I guess we sometimes have to pay the price for the quarter that we are or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Marlena is one of those people who a friend of mine described one time as being someone who travels by catapult.
Okay, Roger, goodbye now.
Maybe it's a good thing you don't drive, Marlena. I can see lanes in the middle of...
Now it's time for you to go.
All right, I'll leave it to you guys. Goodbye.
All right, Roger, take care. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926 with a frog in my throat. You are listening to the Marlena program being co-hosted tonight very ably by Brian Duffelmeyer from Illinois. Brian, among many things, is the public relations officer for the Illinois Council of the Blind. We're going to talk about that. We're talking right now about mainstreaming, but you know what? Hey, we're ready to talk about anything you guys want to talk about. We'll be right back after this little message. Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. Right. Righto, Brian. They're listening is our business, isn't it?
It is indeed.
It is indeed.
They're listening and their calls, because that keeps the two-way communication going, and that's what builds, and that's what fosters and feeds a grassroots organization like ours.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Tell us a little bit about Illinois Council. What are you guys up to out there in that cold state, although it isn't much colder there than it is here?
Ooh. Man, you ought to hear the wind. I wish there was a way I could let you hear the wind slamming against the windows here.
You don't have to worry about that. I have it right outside. I just said to my brother yesterday, it doesn't snow very much here, and we don't get much down below, 38, It is 30 degrees. The wind is blowing. We got an inch of snow out there. Oh, my God. Anyway, back to ICB.
Well, it is the Illinois Council of the Blind, and we are, of course, the state affiliate of ACB. And, we've got a number of excellent people. You could never tell all that everybody does. But we've got, a number of projects and a number of things going. Our Dots for Tots program.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, it's cool. We basically we get Braille into the hands of kids, and once we get names, we send them, so many books a year, and then we send them another book on their birthday. And what's cool about this project is that we have developed a catalog, and we, continue to try to increase the number of books in the catalog. But what's cool about it is they select the books from the catalog. We don't just pre-select, okay, we're going to send this book, this book, this book, and this book to everybody or to, these students at random. All the students in the program, they select their own books.
Except, I think,
the birthday book is just an extra bonus we send. But I'm not quite sure about that, but basically they select the books.
How do you find these kids?
And, it's just cool. But, there's the best thing you can do, I think, for Braille literacy is to start with a book.
Absolutely.
Because when it all comes down to, you can go through, program after program and all this stuff, but what really makes a difference is to get people reading.
There's
no doubt that the kids are real appreciative.
How do you find
really
these kids?
Enjoy these books.
How do you find these kids? Well, Brian.
So it's a cool program.
Brian can't
it
hear
really
me.
Is.
Brian can't hear me. Huh. This is bizarre.
That's probably one of our. Oh, I don't know. I'd say it's our coolest, but it's one of our top programs, I think, because it's for pretty much anywhere in the state, and I think we'd expand it to any horizons if we could, because there's just a real commitment to Braille literacy. If you look at our logo, it's a cane and a slate, and if you think about it, getting around and being able to read and interact with and write with what's there pretty much covers an awful lot of things. It covers an awful lot of things you do in life.
We seem to be having some technical
directions or instructions or getting an education or whatever.
Difficulty, because Brian cannot hear me. Brian, you can't hear me.
Are you still with us?
We're gonna try this again and ask Gary to call Brian again, because for some reason Brian couldn't hear me.
I'm gonna get him on the phone.
866-666-7926 is the number. I hope you guys are hearing me okay. Gosh. Nothing but gremlins here as well. Is what's going on. Let's. Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. All right, we're gonna try this again. Hopefully, you all are hearing me. Brian, are you hearing me?
Yes.
Oh my gosh!
For the moment.
I kept saying, "Where do you find these children?" And you just kept on talking. And I thought, oh "My gosh, am I coming out on the air?" So I think we'll blame that one on the VOIP line, is what we'll do. Gary assured me I was coming out on the air. So, oh my gosh! See,
yeah,
just,
something happened. There was all of a sudden there was nothing on your end.
Well, you know what? It's my software is saying, "Ha ha, your brother's listening. I'm going to do everything I can to screw it up." The only worst time that something like this could happen is if I have, you know, Ronnie Millsap on, or, you know, somebody like that, when I have a zillion trillion callers. And
oh yes.
I don't know if you were listening the night that we gave away with the system access. We had so many listeners that night. We had like over 500 listeners. The server just crashed. And then I was getting all this email like, "Well, you're not on." And I was like, "Well,
I guess it's what you call too much."
Oh my gosh, Brian, you're wonderful. I tell you what. So how do you find these kids for the Dots for Tots?
That's kind of a struggle. I mean, you've got to kind of advertise for them and get them out, because, you know, you're not going to get schools to give you names, obviously.
Sure.
I don't run the programs. I'm not sure how they get all the referrals.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe some of the teachers, if they're conscientious or whatever, or willing to, could always, you know, suggest to their parents, "Hey, there's this program," and then they can contact us.
Sure, sure.
You know, and really, if they're interested, then, you know, that's kind of good, you know. But we'll have to do more and to really, I mean, really publicize this thing, because it's growing, and it's growing steadily, but it's at one of those stages now where we want to kind of push it so it can jump, you know, to the next level.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Well, that's a fascinating program. So how many kids would you say that you do serve in a year? Just, you know, just as a guess. And, you know, the reason I'm focusing so much on this, I think this is a fabulous idea for other affiliates, and in conjunction with Louis Braille's, 200th birthday coming up. You know, what a wonderful thing for ACB affiliates to do, reaching out to children around the country and getting, if we could get a Braille book into the hand of every blind child, what a thing that would be.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you the name of the person that actually runs the program.
Uh-huh.
Because she can answer all your questions and have any kind of figures and whatever that you need.
Okay.
And she's super enthusiastic and, you know, good speaker in her own right. Her name is Laura Booker.
Okay, great.
And for actual contact information.
Well, why don't you email that to me?
Okay, I was going to suggest it, because I didn't have it right in front of me. I was going to suggest that you call our state office. I can do that, or I know she's enthusiastic. She could just have her email you with the information.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, I would just love to, of course, it's a bit late to embark on it, but why not start it and to sort of share it with our affiliates around the country, and just getting Braille into the hands of blind children. That, to me, I think that's a very laudable goal.
Well, she's certainly the person to talk to you about that, and because she's got all the materials and all of the info, and runs it very ably. It's kind of interesting. She is our secretary, and what makes it interesting is, you know, we've talked a lot recently about, you know, quiet cars and all that. Well, she's one of the few sighted members, fully sighted members, and she has one of these quiet cars. So she does all the quiet car demonstrations.
My brother-in-law has a quiet car, and I, when he called us and said, "Oh, I got this new hybrid," I said, "You bought a blind killer."
we have her all the time. You know, oh yeah, she's going to run us down.
Yeah,
But she is a terrific person, and you know, that's it. There are so many good people in our organization, and it's one person doesn't do it. One person
exactly.
is just that,
exactly.
one person.
Exactly. And you know
and
what? Speaking of one person, get ready to answer your second call. Are you
okay,
ready?
Okay, I will do that.
Go for it right now.
All right. Again, this is Brian Duffelmeyer. We are on the Marlena Show, and go ahead with whatever's on your mind.
Hello there. It's Debbie Hazelton. How you doing, Brian?
All right.
That's Debbie Hazelton.
Hi. Welcome, Brian. And you know, I love Braille. I'm so happy to hear that you're doing that, Brian. I think it's a wonderful way to help kids to not only get introduced to Braille, but to love it, and even to get the interest of parents and other sighted folks. You know, I imagine there are some people who have come along and said, "Oh, I want to learn that too."
Well, I think that slates and Braille writers were really the first dot matrix printers.
There you go.
That's good, Brian. I like that.
Changing the world one cell at a time.
One cell at a time. Do you remember your first book? Do you remember when you got your first?
Oh boy, no, because I can't say which one is my first. I can remember, you know, some that I read as a kid, but I can't really remember what would be my first. I guess they all kind of merge together when you've been reading for probably, well, somewhere between 35 and 40 years.
Do you remember yours, Debbie?
Well, yeah. I remember bringing home a book and sitting up in my bed and whispering, reading out loud, and I think it was called On Cherry Street. And it had Ted and Sally in it. And I remember sitting there and reading in a whisper, you know, and just, oh, I was having the best time. And then that was a paperback book. And I think before that, my teacher had brailled books for me, which she had written, and then she used those ring binders. Those they looked like little donut rings.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She used those. I love those. I'd love to get some more of those and put things together with them. They're great. Still, when I got that On Cherry Street, it was my first actual, like, commercial selling book. It was paperback. But then I remember, and I don't remember the name of the book, but I remember when I got my first hardback book. And I remember walking around the classroom carrying that book and just really feeling like I had actually made it, like I was a regular kid or something, you know. I just had such a great feeling with that, the feel of that book in my hand.
Well, when I was younger, when I was growing up, one of the things my aunt and uncle for Christmas would always get me a Braille book for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'd read through that thing in about, you know, 2-3 days, and it'd be gone, no matter what its length.
Well,
I just, you know, devour that thing, and I always look forward to, you know, that, you know, knowing that that was gonna, mm-hmm. some book was gonna be in that package.
I was always the weird kid, and I remember when Mrs. Netzel, who was my itinerant teacher. Actually, she wasn't itinerant. I actually was itinerant to her because we were all brought to this school, which had a resource room in it. And the school was about, oh, I don't know, half hour from my house. So we would go every day in the taxi. And Marcia Dresser actually went to school with me. If you guys know, and you know Marcia, she just got elected to the ACB Board of Publications. Hooray for her.
Yay.
And I remember when Mrs. Netzel put the book in front of me and she put my hands on the Braille, and I took my hands off that Braille and I said, "I'm not reading that. That's not like my brother's book." And I sat on my hands, and she said, now you're going to learn to read different from your brother. You're going to learn to read with your hands. No, I'm not. And I just sat there, and so she did the best thing she could possibly do. She ignored me, and I can't stand to be ignored. And so she jump, and then they'd look at J-U-M-P, and I had to sit in my chair because I wouldn't look at the word.
Oh.
I soon started looking at that word.
That is so cute. Do you remember to Touch the Top of the World, Eric?
Weinmeier. Yeah.
He wrote about how much he didn't like his first itinerant teacher and how she was real serious and real strict, and he didn't like all that. So one day when she wasn't looking, he rubbed some dots out and said, "What's this here?" And he made her look at it, and he had made it turn into something obscene.
Oh, no! Oh, dear.
She got really mad. I'm glad you just stuck with being ignored, Marlena.
Probably safer course.
She was like, "I did not do that." But, oh God, I laughed so hard when I read that in the book.
That's funny. That's
great.
Funny. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that you know, when you're a kid and you're blind, you know, there's so much going on around you. And I mean, for me, like, I didn't really understand that I was blind for a long time. I mean, I thought being blind was something, well, now I think being blind is a very cool thing, and I feel like it's part of my gift, and I feel like, you know, it's just part of who I am, and so that's okay with me. But when I was little, I used to think when people would go, "Oh, she's blind," that was like a magical thing that they were wishing they could be blind, too.
Oh, God, I remember telling some
kids. Well, we can sign them up. There's lots of ways, but
I told a kid, "Don't call me names, I can't see."
Oh, oh brother.
That's interesting.
I know.
"Don't call me names, I can't see."
Well, I think we all know why Marlena got into radio. She's not going to be ignored there.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
I don't do ignored good, you know.
That's okay. When I first wrote a book and I told my kind of like a stepbrother, he was my stepfather's son, and I told him that I had a book that was coming out, and he said, "What happened, Debbie? You couldn't get anybody to listen to you, so you had to write it all down." I said, "Yeah, it's true."
Oh, my word. That's funny. That's funny.
Oh,
well, I know you're busily making things today.
I am.
Yes, yes.
I am.
Debbie
makes to catch up with the things.
Makes beautiful dream catchers, and she makes wonderful natural products and
lots of aromatherapy.
Aromatherapy and all that good stuff. So I hope we're keeping you good company.
Yes, you are. Well, yes, you are. Well, I appreciate you doing the show, Brian, and also
it's a cool opportunity to do this, to have, you know. It's an excellent auction item because it gives people a chance to do something that.
Uh-oh. Brian's gone again.
No, I'm still here.
Okay.
Good.
Phew. You stopped.
Yeah.
Well, I heard this voice, and so I quit.
Oh. I hear voices, too, but I never quit.
You know, I have a feeling that somebody's trying to call this number, but I'm just going to ignore it because I'm not going to break off in the middle of a radio program.
Did you hear what Debbie said? She said she hears voices too, but she never quits.
Yeah. Well, it's whether or not you answer.
That's true. That's true.
Although they always say that if you talk to yourself, that's not a good sign, but I disagree. I think it's very healthy.
I talk to myself. In fact, Gary teases me about how much I talk to myself.
Yeah.
I just wonder if those voices ever leave a message.
Well, I always say it's okay. They can leave me a massage at the sound of the tone, but they better not rub me the wrong way.
Excellent.
All right, Debbie, it's time for you to go back to work now. That's enough for you.
Okay.
Well, she's just filling in because she's a DH.
A DH?
Oh, designated hitter.
Oh, God. All right, well, have fun.
All right, take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
866-666-7926. My co-host tonight is Brian Duffelmeyer. I've been saying your name wrong. Brian Duffelmeyer, he's from Illinois. He's the public relations officer of the Illinois Council of the Blind. And this very fine gentleman last summer at the ACB auction where we raised, golly, I think we raised over $24,000. One of the auction items I put up, you can come on the show, and or if you didn't want to come on, you could tell me who you wanted to have on, and I would do the show, or you could do the show, and by golly, he bid on it, and you really carried it out there for a while, too, didn't you? I mean, somebody was bidding against you for a while.
Oh, for a little while.
Yeah, well, we got another call. Let's bring him right on in. Ready, go.
All right. Again, you are on the Marlena Show. This is Brian Duffelmeyer, and go ahead anytime.
Absolutely. Number one, Brian, welcome to the program. Jeff out in Northern California. Number two, Marlena, you told me to call you back. Say hey, so I'm back.
I'm glad you did, Jeff. Great job. Great job. How is your dad?
He is pretty much the same. Situation. It's not going to get better. It's the Alzheimer's, but
yeah.
The good thing is he's home. And sorry to kind of change gears suddenly there quickly there, Brian. I'm listening in, and although a lot of what's happened to me kind of varied, but I went from first, you know, to say, you know, about my dad just briefly, Marlena, sure. my mom has remarried, Brian, and thank God, thanks to him, I've gone to CSB in Berkeley, Northern California, which is now in Fremont, and I've gone through from, you know, because I lost my sight when I was about, 8 years old or so, was born premature, all that, and basically my life started out a little rough, okay, but the good saving grace to that was losing my sight. That was the saving grace. Doctors back in 64 said this guy would never develop in anything and just told my mom to walk, and I'm glad she didn't, and here I am.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And there you are because you're a fighter and you're a very special person.
Yes, I am. Thank you. Yeah, I've just went through the mill and, you know, had some tragedies, which I think, Marlena, I've told you about, but just on the whole, I was just listening to you guys, and that laugh felt good. I was just thinking of some of the crazy stuff. I'm like, well, how can I see that? Blind in one eye, can't see out the other, right?
There you go. There you go.
That's like the old six of one, half a dozen of the other.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
And you know, you guys, sometimes I think it's just a very cool thing to do is to just create kind of a safe space and a venue where we can just talk about being blind, you know, where we can just, you know, we don't focus on it 100% of the time, and we don't, you know, but, you know, Jeff, I mean, you've really overcome a tremendous number of obstacles in your life, and you are a celebration.
You
know, and just to be able to share that and know it and feel it and hear it and just take it all in. I mean, it's important. It's very important for us to celebrate who we are and what we are. You know, I met a newly blinded guy last week, and I was chatting with his mom, and he's a youngster. He's about 20 years old. And she said, you know, I really want to get him involved with blind people. And I said, well, you know, it'll happen. I said, but
he's got to take his time.
That's right. He's got to take his time.
Transition.
And I said, you know, sometimes something will happen eventually where he's just going to want to share that. And the only people who will understand it will be somebody who's blind. And she said, well, like what? I said, well, you know, sometimes when we sit down and talk, we've been even known to say things like, holy God, I made it across that damn street, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I mean, you know, and only a blind person could understand about Holyoke because of how we deal and what we deal with, you know? And sometimes I think we don't give ourselves enough time and space to do that, so.
Yeah, and be with it, yeah. That's it. Yeah, because my thing was anger and feeling sorry for myself, oh, woe's me. I got rid of that. I freed myself. And it's even what my sister has noticed. Everybody in my family can see. I have two sisters, two brothers, all older. And they're just like, as much as they give me a hard time, but it comes with a lot of respect for the unique abilities that I have.
Yeah.
And they're just like, we better ask Jeff. He'd know more about that. And they'd ask me, and then I start asking them questions. They're like, oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, very cool.
It's what I like to do.
You know, blindness is not a hobby. But
no.
Talking about it is.
That's right. I like that. I like that. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I don't even, you know, it's part of me, but I don't talk about it because I'm like, hey, live with it.
Yep.
So make the best of it. So.
Well, I hope you have a very happy holiday and, you know, keep calling in, keep checking in.
Yeah.
I'll be here again next week.
All right.
I'm still hoping to bring Mr. Obama's disability guy on.
I would love to hear him.
Yeah.
I was very much for Obama, and I wasn't sure he was going to win. Well, that night, I thought it was New Year's.
I
wept.
I know.
It was a relief of tears that a change, that the opportunity to make that change is here. It's up to us how we do it.
Well, let's see what happens.
Brian, good to talk with you. I will talk with you soon. You and your family have a Merry Christmas and a safe New Year, and continue sending those books out to those wonderful children.
Thank you very much. Same to you.
All right.
So, Marlena, you and Gary, Merry Christmas.
All right, you too, Jeff.
All right.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Go ahead, Brian. I cut you off.
I want to say we're glad to have you back, Marlena. You had a little struggle of your own, but you've made it through admirably.
Oh, indeed, indeed, indeed. And we have another call. Are you ready?
Yes.
Go.
Let's go. Okay. Again, this is Brian Duffelmeyer.
Hello, this is Margaret Johnson from Paragould, Arkansas.
Margaret! Oh, it's wonderful to hear you.
Well, I'm glad you're back on, too. I sure missed when you were off, and I heard last week, and I thought, well, I didn't call last week, but I wanted to call this week. I had two things. One of them is way off the subject, but I want to get back to the subject. I know who has the T-shirts that has the yield on there with the wheelchair and the dog and the cane.
Oh, you do? Okay.
And, well, the first ones that came out didn't have the wheelchair on there, and they had them in the Tennessee Council's blind. Brenda Dillon, I think I bought it from her first.
Okay.
But then the San Antonio, Alamo Chapter Council. They're the ones that did them again and had the yield sign, and it said, you know, it had the dog and the cane and the wheelchair on there.
All right, tell me again who's got them?
Alamo Council of the Blind in San Antonio.
Okay.
Texas.
I'm just writing it down.
So anyway, I got one of them, and I got one for Travis. I've been wearing it around my low vision support group.
now, remind me what it says, because it was so cool, but it's been like 2 years.
Well, it said yield. It was a yellow yield sign right on the chest, you know, and it had the black drawing of the cane, the dog, and the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the back, it said, it is the law.
Well, you know what? That's not the one I'm looking for. The one I'm looking for says, it has the dog and the cane, and then it says on the front, it says close your eyes, and then on the back it says now cross the street.
Oh. Yeah, we're trying to get some audible pedestrian signal up here, at least one, And they said, well, we got a push button light down there. I said, well, you want to blindfold yourself and go down there and try to figure out when that light changes and see if you can cross with these 18-wheelers rolling through there like everything.
Oh, especially with all the new traffic patterns now and then all the quiet cars, mm-hmm. the hybrids. And
well, our town is cut into fours by Highway 412 and Highway 49. And so, you know, you go anywhere just about, you know. But I can't get anybody's attention on this. And I did talk to the highway department. I've talked to the mayor. I've talked to everybody in it. And somebody said, well, you know, that other organization is not for it. I said, well, I can't help that.
Yeah.
I said, maybe they don't want to travel like we do out on the street.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was just I wanted to tell you that, but that's not the other reason why I called. When I was going to the school for the blind, they were just switching over to what they call sight-saving ink print. And you could hear parents, you could hear teachers, you could hear everybody say, this child is going to be able to read ink print. And this child will have to have Braille. Well, that right there, it sounds like you're a second-class citizen if you're going to read Braille, you know? But anyway, when I was in school, I had partial vision, so after I learned the Braille alphabet, I got tired of it. You know, I didn't even know what you're supposed to do with all those dots after you got them done. Because I was sitting over there watching the other kids read the flashcards in kindergarten, and I just reached in the dollhouse and played with a little plastic toilet in the dollhouse. But what happened, a friend of mine had some children, and some of them went to public school, and one of them went to the blind school. And she went up to the school for the blind to see her little child. And so another child came up to her and said, hi, Miss Vicky. You know what? I have to have Braille.
Oh, I love that.
And so Vicky, you know, grew up in Braille and everything. She said, well, that's all right. I read Braille. And the little kid said, oh, you do? Like, good night. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, that's...
And I said, it's just great that you told that kid that, you know, because he was feeling like he wasn't really exactly what he ought to be, you know.
Well, and, you know, it's important for the kids to have role models, too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we went through a time in the Arkansas School for the Blind where we had a Braille teacher. She had, we had a kindergarten, and then we had first and second grade print and first and second grade Braille, and then they merged them back together in the third grade. And then every other year they'd have a blind teacher and then a sighted teacher and a blind teacher and like that. And, you know, I guess that was about as fair as you could do it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But those people that were in what we called first and second grade Braille, I mean, you know, I think that built a lot of self-esteem there that, you know, I can read Braille, I can read. This one kid said, well, I can read Braille, and I can read this close Braille, too. It was single-spaced.
Oh,
we can read close
that's
Braille.
Neat.
That's the closest thing we come to fine Braille.
Yeah. Well, we could read that little mini Braille. You know, that, what are the micro, no, what is it, the small Braille? The Japanese Braille, it's so tiny.
Oh, I've never
seen
it.
Yeah. Well, all right, Miss Margaret.
Well, I just wanted to call and tell you all that, and just, you know, I think if we could just tell the parents, look, do you want your child to be really illiterate and not be able to write down their own name, address, and phone number and their own thoughts, or do you want to give them something they can use? And even if they read the Braille, don't tell them, now you're in Braille now, you can't see a print book. We don't give these print books to you because you're in Braille now. Don't make people just, because maybe they can look under a CCTV for a little while, they just can't read 300 page books under one.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just my idea about it. And it took me, Dick Seifert taught me to read Braille in 4 months, so I know anybody can do it.
Well, there you go. Dick Seifert's a good guy.
Thank you. We'll See you later.
All right, my dear. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Brian Duffelmeyer is my co-host tonight. He is the public relations officer of the Illinois Council of the Blind. You're Radio Mainstream, and we will be right back. Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. It's our business, isn't it, Brian?
Yes, it is. Indeed.
Get ready. You got a call. Ready?
Okay.
Go.
Here
go.
We go.
Go.
All right.
Oh, they hung up. They hung up.
Oh,
caller,
dear.
You need to call back. Oh, there they are. Okay, do it again. Go.
All right. This is Brian Duffelmeyer. We are on the Marlena Show. Please go ahead.
Hello.
This is Steve from in the Philippines.
Oh, hang on, Steve. Something bizarre is going on here. Things are ringing. I have no idea what that is. Hold on. You know what, Steve? Call right back.
You
got a weird ring going on. Oh, this is going to be a good call. Well, every call is a good call. But Steve, he knows cool stuff. He's
one of the
cool
things
guy.
I want to quickly mention here is that I couldn't resist designing a T-shirt of our own to kind of use as a fundraiser. And basically, the idea with what I did was I went to this place that actually, you know, does the design work and produces the T-shirts in central Illinois here. And the whole concept for the design is you got a blind guy standing there with a cane, and it looks like he's about ready to plunge into a crowd of people. And it's got the ACB logo on the sleeve, the ICB logo on the sleeve. And the wording on it is, life is a contact sport.
Very cool. Very cool. Gary, the board guy's checking out the line here. We run our lines by software. So, Steve, I know you're going to call back. There he is. All right. Hang on, Brian.
Okay.
We're going to push all the buttons. Ready? Answer it.
Okay, this is, again, the Marlena Show, and I am Brian Duffelmeyer. Please go ahead.
Brian, this is Steve Guerra again from Independent Living Aids. How are
Yay,
you this evening?
Steve.
All right.
First, I want to say, Brian, congratulations on winning having the winning bid for hosting Marlena Show. If you had to host a show on ACB Radio, this is the one.
There you go.
Now, just a minute. You do a little show on ACB Radio, Buster.
I do.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to let you get off the phone without telling about your show.
Yeah, we'll throw a little friendly plug in there about that.
Yeah.
But Marlena, good.
Oh,
and
thank
you were
you.
Sorely missed for all those weeks that you were away.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate hearing that.
What I'd like to actually, Brian, say to you is it's I'm a newer member to the ACB Radio staff. If anyone's interested in going and doing the show, of course, you get great experience, and it makes the process of doing a show on ACB Radio as easy as anything. For someone who's wet behind the ears and green with regard to broadcasting over internet radio stations, I've been doing one now for a year, and I've learned a lot from Chrissy and Jeff Shang and everyone who's lent their wisdom. It's been a great time since June. I've been on ACB Radio, and it's been a great 6 months. I wanted to say, Brian, and Marlena also. Marlena, I'd like to at some point to discuss with you off-air and via email or by phone about us coming on to discuss a brand-new product with you. But I'm going to give, since this is Brian's show this evening, I want to give him a sneak peek. And if anyone is interested, of course, I'll give an email just where they can get information. It's called the Moshi Voice Controlled Talking Alarm Clock.
I have been hearing so much buzz about this talking clock.
Well, I've done a podcast, and there are MP3 files up on Independent Living Aids website, which is now Independent Living Aids Soundbites. And we We have MP3 files that someone can go up and listen to the clock on the air, and there's also the text manual on our website that someone can read before they actually purchase. If anyone's looking to search for it, it is item number 247-519. If they go to our website, independentliving.com, and they can do a search for that item, they can read all about it. They can listen to the MP3 files, which I recorded, as well as read the text file. But, of course, Marlena, since you're my favorite, I'm willing to give you a first-time exclusive to it.
Oh, great.
So whenever we can hook up sometime this week, maybe we can talk and we can discuss that.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm actually interested in getting this clock, actually.
It's a great clock. I have one. It's, much like many other voice-controlled items that we've all have experienced over the last 2.5 years, and I'm not going to single out any products, but I'll say to you that this by far is the most concise and precise voice recognition that you'll find on the market today.
Wow.
And yes, it's an ILA exclusive.
When I saw it in, I briefly saw Mimi in Switzerland this summer.
Right.
And she had it in her hand, but she didn't know how to do it. And she said, come back, Marvin knows how to do it. Well, I never got to go back because I was broadcasting and I wasn't really there to look at exhibits.
No, I got you. And I have to tell you, my hat's off to both you and Christy for all the coverage that you did. I was a faithful listener to the World Blind Union the whole time, and I loved every single minute of it.
Oh, bless your heart. Oh,
I can't say openly that it distracted me from my normal daily work, but I did listen faithfully.
Oh, that's great.
And Molly, when we talk off air this week sometime, I will I'll certainly let you hear all the options that this clock has. It's amazing. And just to give everyone a sneak peek, the help feature tells you all the commands that you can use, and you'll be amazed at how clear and how concise it is. And our podcast has not been published yet, but we're waiting for final approval from the manufacturers, as just trying to do the right thing by them. And I know there's a podcast already out on Blind Cool Tech, but I don't think it gives it the justice that it deserves.
Oh, that is very cool.
Now, on a side note, I'll say that if anyone who's listening to Marlena's shows, if you're a friend of Marlena, you certainly could be a friend of mine. On Friday nights, and I recently just moved, on Friday nights starting at 8 o'clock and for 2 hours, you get an in-depth sports show called It's All About Sports. And the website for that is actually itsallaboutsports.info. You can contact us via email there. You can get us via MSN Windows Messenger or AOL Instant Messenger. You can call into us via free toll-free service via Skype, provided you live within the United States, Puerto Rico, and Canada. And we take live calls, and we have great guests. And just to give you some sneak peeks of some guests that are coming up, as all of you may have heard who are probably a possible part of ACB Radio, or ACB for that matter, the Ohio State School for the Blind, totally blind marching band who's participating in the 2010 Rose Bowl Parade.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Which is a 6-mile trek. But we are going to have the co-directors of the Ohio State School for the Blind marching band on our show live on January 15th, which will be, don't listen to it, it's starting at 8 o'clock at night for the next 24 hours, every 3 hours.
That is so cool. I'm so proud of those kids. Oh, my gosh.
And a couple other sneak peeks, and again, I've already started announcing this on my show, because I do a live broadcast on Thursday nights on another radio station. We're working on Dr. Harvey Schiller, who's part of the International Baseball Federation, would like to work with any of the disabled sports who offer a version of baseball to bring baseball back to the 2016 Olympic Games.
Wow.
That, and the last piece is that we're in negotiations with Jim Abbott, who's the only one-handed pitcher who's pitched for both the California Angels and New York Yankees, and he's based out of California right now, but he's retired from baseball. But we're working on having him come on. So besides Marlena getting all your fantastic guests, It's All About Sports is trying to do the same thing. We're working on the heels of Marlena.
Oh, I don't think so. Well,
but it's a So you can check out that show. It's a great time. We've been working for the last year and a half with ACB Radio for not only putting out the Beat Baseball World Series game, but also in the for the future it's going to be a regular situation that we have a try to do live shows from wherever we are with regard to Beat Baseball or any disabled sports venue that can provide us the internet capability of broadcasting live. So it should be fun. It's a lot of work, but it's a fun task.
Well, and you know what? If you can't get it live again this year, you know, we'll do what we did last year. We'll play it off.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. And again, Marlene, it's great to hear you and hear you live. And Brian, you're doing a fantastic job. You're a great host. I think you should start your own show.
I do too. Yeah. I think we need a movement to get Brian Duffelmeyer on ACB Radio.
I agree.
There you go.
But everyone have a pleasant holiday season, and it's stay warm if it's too cold where you are. If it's too warm where you are, get into air conditioning, and then have a safe and happy holiday season from not only myself but everyone at Independent Lemonade Soundbite.
You're such a sweetheart. Listen, call me toward the beginning of the week, my dear, because I'm getting company toward the end of the week, and then life is just going to go wango after that. So
yeah, I fully understand.
Yeah, so call me toward the beginning of the week, and let's get this worked out.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody. Have a great holiday and great night.
All right, my dear.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Isn't he a great guy? Steve always has cool things to talk about.
And very enthusiastic.
And he gets to play with all those cool toys that Independent Living Aid sells.
Gizmos, gadgets, and the like.
Yeah, it's 12 minutes past the hour, give or take. By the time you hear me say that, it'll be more than that. But, you know, we're on the internet, and the program tonight is kind of a potpourri of all sorts of things being co-hosted by a very lovely gentleman that, you know, next year we just got to make sure we shake hands at convention. And Brian Duffelmeyer, he's from Illinois. He's the public relations officer for the Illinois Council of the Blind. I'm Marlena. I'm out here in Seattle. And, I don't normally check my email during the show, but because my brother is listening and this is the first time he's listened, I've been checking the email. And he wanted me to share a story that we talked about yesterday on the phone. You know, I was always one that, you know, I would just go. You know, I would just go. And so we lived about, I don't know, maybe 40 minutes by train from Boston. And my brother came home one day and he said to our mother, "Well, where is she?" And my mother said, "Well, she went to Boston." And he said, "I wouldn't even go to Boston. We'll never see her again." Oh, my gosh. So what else, Brian? Tell us what else is good and going on in your great head.
Well, I'd love to do a series of bumper stickers and patches for the next White Cane Safety Day with the wording on them, "Never let them hear you crunch."
Oh, God. I have a caller. I'm surprised that I haven't heard from Stan the Man from Oregon tonight, because he usually pretty well calls every week, although, you know, people do have a life, and sometimes they don't listen to me. Shame on them. But he called one night to talk about an audible pedestrian signals, and he used the funniest phrase. He said, "Well, you know, without them, I mean, crossing the street, it's like bowling for blinks, you know." You just...
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, so there's another phrase for you, bowling for blinks.
Sort of like a bunch of birds looking for windows.
Yeah, something like that, something like that. 866-666-7926. So you actually designed these shirts?
Well, I came up with the concept.
Yeah.
I didn't do the artwork, of course.
Yeah, hope not.
No, yeah, so do I. but I came up with the basic part of the design.
Yeah,
and then there's a place in Central Illinois in Pekin called the T-shirt House, and they do a nice job. They'll take that design and they'll
do the artwork, and they'll do the whole thing from there.
Tell me what you do as the public relations officer for ICB.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because I've never done public relations. I've never done that type of thing before, and I started last year. And I'd say last year, year one, was just sort of getting my feet wet because, again, that wasn't my major in college.
What was your major in college?
Political science.
Oh.
It started with other things, and as I got to know my skills better, it sort of morphed from, well, from one thing to another until it reached that area. As I say, it wasn't my major in college, but, an opening. It was something that I had an interest in doing when the opportunity arose. And, I got a lot of good ideas, but I'm thinking that now this year it's time to put some feet to those ideas and some solid substance.
Well, you know, Dr. Ron Milliman heads up the American Council of the Blind, Public Relations Committee, and he's always looking for, good ideas and good folks, and, if you haven't...
Well, and he's got a lot of good information. We really appreciate their public relations handbook.
Yeah.
And we appreciate this is what we need because there's so much expertise at the national level, and this is a good way for it to to get down to the people that are using it on other levels.
So do you work other than, of course, I know you work for ICB, but that probably makes you as much money as doing this makes me. So do you have a job or do you work?
Yes, I
tell us about that.
Work for the state of Illinois Central Management Services, which is basically a support the department that does a lot of support services.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the data security section, administrative services unit, and just basically kind of do right now whatever they need done. Kind of more of a gopher in the administrative area than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully be getting into more ADA compliance stuff with. Not so much their websites, although I've reviewed a number of websites as well, but with some of their web applications.
Interesting. What skills as a blind person did you have to really make sure were developed before you got into this kind of a job?
Well, I was between 17 and 18 years ago, about 17 and a half years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And for 3 years, I was a state operator, which was real interesting because, of course, the consoles weren't really accessible and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But enough was, and they put a lot more information that into the computer, which made a lot more of the information that previously had simply been in book form available.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of calls involved some guesswork, but it worked. It worked to where I was putting as many as 3 calls on hold, which
mm-hmm.
was pretty much the standard for a busy day,
mm-hmm.
a busy time period. And I would say I was keeping up and doing pretty much the same load of work as any other state operator.
Mm-hmm.
And, that job ended when they decided to close that unit.
Mm-hmm.
Farm it out. They farmed it out to another private group, whatever. So then I moved up to the IT department. Well, all my computer training has basically been self-taught.
Mm-hmm. As is
trial
mine.
And error over and over. And I sort of got really into searching things. This is back and still in the DOS days,
mm-hmm.
still back in 94,
mm-hmm.
when Windows was just beginning to rear its head, and some would say it's ugly head.
Yes, I remember when we all thought it was pretty darned ugly.
Well, was it somebody was saying, just say no to Windows?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
But we would do searches on CD-ROMs and do searches on the Internet, and the self-taught on the Internet,
mm-hmm.
And just trial and error, you get better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And over the
mm-hmm.
years, I did a number of projects and a number of things in the IT department, and Then after about 10 years, there was some rearrangement and people moving around and so forth and reorganization. And I ended up in more of the data security areas, and I kind of drifted from different areas within that to the subcategory that I'm in now.
Interesting. So you've really kind of been a jack of many trades there.
I've done different things. I'm not. I'm not into that. I'm no heavy spreadsheet user. Don't do the database thing. I'm not a programmer. Not any of the heavy. I'm not a data processor. I'm a data processing technician is the official title. And it's I just call myself an info gopher. Because really, that's closest to what kind of things I do. Sometimes it's making, telephone calls for getting people to make sure that they filled out a form and sent in certain information and that sort of thing. Might be, tracking something down or looking into a particular issue and making some recommendations or whatever. And again, I'm sort of kind of between things right now. Hoping that more interesting tidbits come together and then start producing some real nuggets to get into.
Well, that is very fascinating. And I need your IT services here. I suddenly have a frozen computer. And so it's a good thing we can talk because we can't do anything else.
Maybe you should sing your version of Love Me Tender or something. These computers need a lot of TLC.
I'm going to kick this one down. And Gary, the board guy.
Well, that's
just
the other thing that might work.
I know. Kicking and cursing at it often helps. Gary, the board guy, just came in with a bulletin, he says, from the official Marlena Radio studio. We have a bulletin. I was going after my little sound music, my do 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 do. Oh well, it's 25 degrees in Seattle. I hope my brother is happy. I told him yesterday, it never snows here. It doesn't get cold here. And he said today, I hope you get a foot of snow. 25 degrees. Oh my gosh. Okay. Interesting. All right. On we go. 866-666-7926. I may never be able to leave the air because the computer's frozen. Brian, you and I may be stuck in perpetuity here.
Welcome to the Twilight Zone. Now we just need the music.
Do, 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 do.
There we go.
Oh, my gosh, my gosh. What are some of your hobbies?
I know we've talked a lot, and I do it both tactily and audibly. I have a Braille display at work and a Braille display at home.
Good job. And, even my Braille display is frozen. I just wanted to share that. Okay.
Yeah, well, when the main system goes, everything freezes with it usually. That just means you can't see the error messages.
That's right. There's all these error messages, and I'm blind to them all.
Well, that just means you can't see error codes that make no sense and don't mean anything.
That's right.
So
there you go.
Perhaps you're spared that irritation.
Yeah.
But reading definitely has to be one of my main hobbies. I like music.
What kind of music are you into?
I love some different kinds of music, but I really love contemporary Christian music.
Ah, cool, cool.
One fact, what's interesting is one of my favorite stations I can only get on the internet because it's in Nashville. So, obviously, being in Springfield, Illinois, you're not going to get that over the air. So, thank goodness for the web. You get a nice clear signal and stay up with your favorite. It was originally on Sky Angel, and then they made some changes because they were supported by Dish Network at one time. And when that all changed, then I just basically pick them up off the net. But
So you're in Springfield.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Now, right now, I'm in Chicago in the home of a friend. We came up for a Christmas party. Which is interesting is this is actually the ACBMC, that's the American Council of the Blind Metropolitan Chicago, Metro Chicago Christmas party.
Huh. And, that's where you were last night when I caught you, right?
Getting, that is correct. Yeah. I was just coming in from that.
Yeah.
I was just in the vehicle. We were just pulling in to where I'm staying.
Well, poor Brian, I've rescheduled him so many times for this show. You know, we were going to do this in September, and then I got so sick, and then we were going to do it my first week back, and I thought, oh, no, I don't want to do it the first week back because, you know, people won't know I'm back, and no one will call, and oh, dear, dear, dear. So Brian has just been a trooper about rescheduling this this event.
And then we had the original technical problems, and I was thinking, here we go again.
Yeah, here we go again. And I tell you, it's been a thing. 866-666-7926. You know, some weeks we have so many callers, you can't even keep up with it. And other weeks, you know, and at first, Brian, if you ever do decide to do a program on ACB Radio or anywhere, I share this with you as the best advice I can give. At first, when I started doing the show and the calls would slow down, I would think, oh my gosh, no one's listening. They've all gone home. And then I learned that people would write to me afterwards. They'd say, well, we didn't call because we're enjoying listening. You know, sometimes I think that's why it slows down. People just kind of, and that's the atmosphere I try to portray on the show is, you know, I used to have an intro where I'd say, come on in, put your feet up, grab your favorite beverage and chill out, you know, and welcome to my living room, you know, and that's kind of, and people sort of take that pretty literally. So we can just sit here and shoot the breeze.
And it at least the breeze is flowing well right now.
You got it. You got it. What are the kind of things did you want to talk about as the host of this program?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's a million things I guess you could talk about. I get a number of magazines from NLS, and some in Braille, some audibly. I guess what's interesting is sources of material.
Mm-hmm.
Magazines and stuff, I get quite a bit of magazines from NLS, but quite frankly, this is not a reflection against NLS at all, but but tapes developed other areas. I was running to the public libraries. I had, you know, connections to be able to get to the public libraries and get a bunch of, you know, bunch of audio books.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to explore that way. Then I sort of, kind of exhausted in those areas, and I was getting more and more into Audible and Bookshare.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm a member of Bookshare, but I still have a hard time having a computer read the book to me.
But see, that's where you see a Braille display. I read almost all of Bookshare. Everything is
in Braille. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't think I would want that computerized speech either.
Yeah.
I don't think I could deal with that. And I know some people do it very well, and it's not, you know.
Well, what amazes me are the kids today. You know, I have a young woman in my life. She's kind of my my surrogate. I guess I was her surrogate sister. I've known her since she was in the third grade, and she can sit and, you know, she reads Braille like a whiz, but. She can also sit and digest a textbook with a computer reading it to her, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Nikki.
Well, you know, articles and stuff, I can handle. Magazine articles, that sort of thing. Sometimes I'll read them in Braille, sometimes I can read them, you know, audibly, but to read a book, to read a novel, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But eloquence just doesn't do it for me.
It's
good, but I can't imagine reading, you know, Mary Higgins Clark or something in that vein.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What kind of novels do you like to read?
I read a number of things. I guess, you know, mysteries, some suspense. I guess, you know, particular authors I like. Again, not all of, Mary Higgins Clark, of course, sometimes Carol,
No,
I'm not fond of Carol.
Well, you know, she's different. You can't have the same expectations for her as you do for her mother.
I like her mother better.
Her style is not as intense.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're kind of fun.
Yeah.
And if you look at them more that way and lower your, change your expectations a little, you can enjoy them more. When you keep trying to hope for the same thing.
I know.
Then you're disappointed.
I know, but you know me. I catapult around into everything, so, you know.
Anne McCaffrey. I love the whole Pern series.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Is absolutely just wonderful. You've read, you know, her son has done, co-written a couple and written one or two on his own of the Pern series now. But, you know, I mean, there's a number of authors, a number of good Christian authors as well.
Mm-hmm.
Have written some really excellent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Blackstock's probably one of the better ones because she's got a number of different series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I could go on. There's a number of authors.
I've been reading some of the Jodi Picoult books. And her books are more Amish in their setting, and they're kind of interesting. But I have to admit, I tell Gary, I am a cheap escapist trash reader. I do James Patterson, you know, all these bodice rippers, you know. Oh, and the more awful they are, the more I like them. I mean, but then I also do V.C. Andrews, and I do the Forsyth saga, you know, that kind of thing. But
If you're into sagas, you ought to read. You ought to read the House of Winslow series.
Oh, who's that by?
That's by, of course, now I can't think of the guy's name, and I'm sure I've read other things from him. Yeah, really. Well, let's put it this way. There are 40 books in the series.
Oh, my gosh.
Brian,
I don't have that long to live.
It starts out in about the time of Plymouth and goes all the way to, like, after World War II.
My gosh. Alrighty then.
That's a saga, all right.
I reckon. Interesting. 866. And what's going on where you are? Next week, we will hopefully have with us Kareem Dale from the Obama campaign, from the Obama staff. And he hopefully will be able to talk with us about Mr. Obama's upcoming agenda for and how that will impact folks who are blind. And, Brian, we have a call. So get ready, go.
All right. This is Brian Duffelmeyer. I am co-hosting your show with the very able Marlena. And go ahead.
Well, hello, Brian, and hello, Marlena. This is Lois in Southern California.
Oh, my coffee-drinking girlfriend.
Oh, me. It's been a while.
One of my hobbies, coffee.
Oh, well, now, honey, you can talk to this woman about coffee. This woman is the coffee queen.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do like to grind my own beans, and I have definite taste, shall we say. before I forget, The House of Winslow, I have read that, and I think... I'm not sure now, but I think all 40 books are up on NLS now, on the digital talking books. At least most of them are.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if my computer weren't frozen, I'd go and look.
Yes.
But
and,
it
and
is.
It's Gilbert Morris.
Gilbert
right.
Morris.
And, you know, I could think of Morris, but I couldn't think of the guy's first name.
Yeah, Gilbert Morris. And I read all those. I started those back when I was reading cassettes, and it used to annoy me because when you ordered a series on cassettes, if there was 1 to 10, you got number 10 first, and then you got number 5, and you got number 1 at the end.
Oh, those were the days, weren't they, before our electronic books? Ay, ay, ay. How did we survive them? Oh.
Well, that was the best we had, so you went with it, you know. And also, Let me see. I think it was about, it's over 3 years ago now. When I got a Bookport, I got into Bookshare. And I'm a little strange, I guess, because I'm having difficulty. I love the stream. I'm fortunate I've got both these devices. But I still like Pete and Paul on the Bookport.
You know, I did a whole show when I was only on for an hour. I could never do this for 2 hours. I couldn't do this show for 2 hours. But I did a whole show a long time ago on who is your favorite synthesizer.
I wish I got that one.
Oh, people got real personal about it. I mean, they were like, oh, no, I can't believe that so-and-so. No.
Yeah, I know.
Pete's better than Paul. No, Paul's better than, oh, my word.
But I have to say, And I guess I'll adjust in time because one day poor old Bookport will die and there's no replacement. To me, it's the inflection that is the issue. Even with, and those real voices are getting better all the time, and it's neat to watch the progress. But the real voices still sound flat to me. And I'd rather have a synthesized voice that's clear,
yeah,
and it does have some reasonable inflection,
yeah,
than a flat, real voice. That's just me.
Well, and they're real, but they have the weirdest breaks in their, you know, when they're reading through sentences.
You mean the synthesized voices?
These so-called real voices.
Oh, yes, yeah.
They have the strangest breaks. And sometimes they have a strange, what we call, if we were eating, we'd call it an aftertaste. But,
yeah,
you know, you hear it in just a little odd sound after they've finished a word or phrase.
Yeah, that's something they haven't cured. And they're still a little herky-jerky. I think Tom's sounds like he's been drinking.
I think it would be, I'm hoping for the day when we can license real, actual human voices and get voice prints and find a way to basically take any word.
Yeah,
their, you know,
exactly.
And over, you know,
yeah,
that would be, wouldn't that be cool?
You know who I really like, and you guys may hear some sound in the background here. I'm sitting in my studio, which is piled with boxes of things that are Christmas presents for people and things. And Gary, the board guy, is coming in to try to look at my screen and figure out why my computer froze. So he's groaning and throwing and moving things around. But you know who I have really come to like? And if she were a real person, she'd be my friend. And that's Kate. I love Kate's voice.
Kate is a real person.
Kate from the Neo speech. Neo speech Kate.
Okay, you have.
Is that one of the Deck Talk voices?
Nope. It's one of the Neo speech.
Oh, if I could get used to any of them. Yes, I remember, and I liked that too. You know. So far, at least in the stream, I've got Samantha, but Samantha's dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Samantha's not dead.
Yeah, and I that's what, when I read Bookshare books, I go back to old Pete and Paul on the Bookport. I read Bookshare books on the Bookport, and I read everything else on the stream. I mean, you know, NLS digital stuff.
Sure.
And so I'm spoiled for now.
Yeah, well, you know, it's easy to get spoiled now that we can just download our books and
that's the wonder of that.
Yeah, isn't it? You know, I mean, I have stored on our storage system like 50 books. I've never had 50 books in my life in my house.
I know
what
you mean. Isn't it wonderful?
You know, yeah. And for blind people to finally be able to have their own books and not have to send them back. And
you know, I'm hoping that NLS realizes that, because the other day when there was a little glitch about the how many books we could have on, in 30 days, no, there was an error, and everybody went nuts thinking they couldn't get any more books, and it was like we ran out of food or something. I mean, and it wasn't that big a deal, but I don't think they understand why that reaction, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, you know what, I think we just, you know, it's so new to us.
Yes.
That when somebody, you know, says, oh, Gary fixed it. Now this thing's talking to me. Shut up. Don't talk to me now. I'm talking to Lois and Brian.
It's like first when you first discover chocolate.
Yeah.
And the next day they said, no, you can't have any more now for 6 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you're like, oh.
Yeah. It's like, don't scare me. Don't take it away from me.
Yeah.
I want to have books.
Right.
Well, Brian, do you use any of the electronic things?
I have a stream,
mm-hmm.
But I haven't gotten it, you know, really going yet.
But
I will. And
it'll be mainly for
the, you know, for digital books,
yeah.
Especially since I have the option of Braille.
Mm-hmm. You know, Brian, it's also very good for stereo music.
Well, yeah.
Oh, extremely good, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the best stereo music players there is, I think.
Yeah.
That's marvelous.
Yeah.
And I just...
Yeah, I got a 16-gig card, too, and right now I've got 40 talking books on it and 22 audible books on it. And
isn't it nice we don't have to waste our space with photos?
See, there are advantages, you guys.
I don't know, you guys. I'm a photo collector. And what I do is I love photos. And what I do is I get Gary to tell me what it looks like, tell me what it is. And then I make a new name for it. Like I have one, Marlena in her white dress with Aggie, champagne glass in hand. You know, and then I know right where I was. And I know the white dress and I know the...
Oh, have you got a collection then of your dog's pictures and everything?
Yep.
Oh, that's neat.
Yep. I have my dogs.
Oh, wait, how's Madeline doing?
Oh, you don't know about Madeline. Madeline died. Actually, I didn't say that last week when I came back on the show. We lost Madeline on the 5th of October.
I'm sorry.
It was very sudden. She within 3 weeks, she was gone. Oh. She got brain cancer.
Oh, man.
Yep. And she was 12 and a half, and
that's a good age for her.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. But she was the girl.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? I have a bell outside in my yard. It's a great big brass bell, and mm-hmm. on the top is a Labrador head, mm-hmm. and then there are angel's wings.
Oh, that's neat.
And when I bought that bell, I said, anytime, and this I bought it years ago, and I said, anytime the wind rings that bell, a guide dog in heaven is wagging its tail.
Oh, that's sweet.
And so that mm-hmm. bell rang a lot on the 5th of October.
Oh, that. Oh,
so,
you know, that sounds like it'd be cool. Really appreciated topic sometime, Marlena, because I don't have a guide dog, but there's a lot of people that do it. They're really close with their guide dogs. And, you know, of course, periodically, as you know yourself, you know, you've got to change one for another and
yep.
so forth. And
that's a hard thing.
Yeah.
You know, it might, you know, give guide dog users a chance to talk about their past, you
yep.
know, pets and...
Yeah.
Air that out a little bit.
Yeah, I've done one show like that. Did a show like that, but it needs to be done again, Brian, because you know I still get email about that show when it's repeated. Sometimes when I'm not here, you know.
Yeah, they've run it several times. Yeah,
and every time it runs, I get email from someone who says, oh, thank you so much. You know, it was so meaningful to hear and to be able to...
You know what? I think it helps. I think it is, pardon the shrink language, catharsis for a lot of people
yeah.
who don't get to express that as much as they need to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, again, it's one of those things that people outside of that don't necessarily understand, although a lot
exactly.
of animal lovers do understand it, but,
yep.
you know...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Lois, what kind of coffee are we drinking?
I'm in a rut right now. Same old stuff.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No.
I'll experiment. I do play with it. The Liberian. I put cinnamon in it, or I put molasses in it, or I put rum in it, or I.
Oh, you and your
or some
rum.
Brandy, whatever turns me on at the moment. By the way, your weather, you're sending us your weather. It's coming down here tonight. We froze here last night at 30 degrees in Southern California.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, and the storm's coming in tonight,
well,
and it's down to 40 degrees already.
Well, I'm telling you, you need to blame my brother.
Oh, now where does he live?
He lives in North Reading, Massachusetts.
Then why is he messing with our weather way out here?
Because, you know.
Because he has a sister.
Yeah, but I can understand if he was in Alaska. You'd just shoot down those cold fronts from up there. But in Massachusetts, he's way out of line here.
I know. Well, he's been out of line a lot, let me tell you.
Is he older or younger than you?
He's older than me.
About how much?
Well, I'm 59 and he's 62.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
Now what? 59 already?
I'm 59, yeah.
Ooh, I knew you were 50, but I didn't think you were
more of a basketball
game. Now watch, he'll send me an email, he'll say, you idiot, I'm 63. But no, he's 62.
Well, I'm 67, I got you all beat.
Well,
I'm going to be 67 in about 10 days.
When's your birthday?
20th.
Oh my gosh, you're almost a Christmas girl.
Yeah, almost.
Almost.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it was crazy because there was so much going on, and I always got sick because I had birthday cakes, then I had Christmas cakes, then I had, oh, man. And I always ended up spending a couple of days sick.
Oh, man.
When I was a real little kid because there was all this stuff.
Well, now you just drink coffee with your rum in it.
Right.
The heck with
add more rum, yeah.
There you go. There you go. Well, listen, my dear, you before Christmas and call me.
Oh, you bet. Oh, one more thing.
Yeah?
Either of you, have you read, you say you like gory stuff sometimes, the dark stuff. Have you read Patricia Cornwell?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and Nevada
Case
Bar?
Carpetta. You know, I haven't gotten into Nevada Bar yet.
Nevada Bar is pretty good, and there's several of her things on NLS now, but I learned about her on Bookshare. I grew up on the computer book stuff. I grew up on Bookshare, of course, because the book for it was the first thing I had.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't believe they've got over 42,000 books now.
It's amazing.
Yes, it is. Just renewed, and I got a letter with some stats in, and it's really amazing.
We have so much to read as blind people now. We never could have imagined this.
No,
as
and
kids.
This is the first time I've had more to read than I can get to all at once.
I know.
And it's a wonderful feeling.
It is, isn't it?
Oh,
it's perfect.
Yeah, that's one of the wonderful things about these times.
Yep, I wouldn't trade it for a minute.
Mm-mm.
Yep.
Hey, hang in, you guys.
All right, sweetheart, will you call me before Christmas?
You bet.
All right.
Nice to talk to you.
Oh, yes, and same here.
Okay, you take care then.
All right.
Okay,
all
thank
right.
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Well, Brian, we're just about getting down to the wrap-up point. How's it been feeling to be a co-host on the...
Not too shabby.
Is the bug biting you?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
You know, I think one of the most difficult things about it really is finding the guests. You know, just trying to keep the show fresh every week is a real
challenge.
Yeah,
not all of them are paying to get on the show.
No. In fact, Ray Campbell paid last year and you paid this year. So
must be something about Illinois.
I think so. I'm surprised Ray didn't call in tonight. Maybe he and Karen are out at a Christmas party or something. Who knows? But
possible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, will you be with us in Orlando this summer at convention?
You know, no. We're not going to make it to Orlando.
Oh, dang. Well, maybe the following year.
We are planning. I'm planning on Phoenix.
Yeah. Phoenix is going to be a good convention.
Should be a hot time.
Yeah, in the old town tonight.
There you go.
Well, Brian, listen, I want to thank you so much for supporting ACB and for subjecting yourself to this craziness for the last 2 hours. And please thank your friend for the use of their landline. And this has been great.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. And, I would encourage anybody to just go for it. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
There's callers that call in and they take up, you don't have to worry about having, 120 minutes of material.
Good heavens, no, I never do.
And if you react to others, that's a big part of the show.
Yep. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And like I say, the biggest deal is keeping it fresh every week and, trying to find guests. And folks do write me with ideas and, I try to follow up on them. And so, the bottom line for my show is that I want it to be blindness related. I want it to be positive. I want people to come away from my show feeling like, you know what, I'm glad I was there. I'm glad I listened. I learned something, you know. I got a new hope. So I thank you, sir.
And you too, and I'm glad you're back in the saddle and raring to go.
Well, I am, and who knows, maybe you'll bid again when you come to Phoenix.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, never know. Brian Duffelmeyer, Public Relations Officer, Illinois Council of the Blind, and long-time Illinois state worker. Just a great guy, great personality. Thank you so much for making us a part of your Sunday night.
Well, thank you. And thank you again, Marlena.
All right. You take care and Merry Christmas. Bye.
Bye.
That was Brian Duffelmeyer. Wasn't he fun? That was a lot of fun. And you, too, can do this next year. You can attend the auction. I will put the show up again. And you can bid on co-hosting with me. If I'm doing a music show, which I'm sort of considering going back and doing another music show over on our interactive stream. Why, if I'm doing one of those, you can come on the music show and we can try to play songs that you like or whatever. But all the proceeds for what you bid go to the American Council of the Blind, and an organization that I dearly love and am very honored to serve on its board of directors. What's coming up for me? Well, Gary, the board guy, and I, we've got some exciting stuff coming up. We've got a dear friend from the East Coast is coming in on Thursday. She and I lovingly call each other sisters, and she's coming in, and she's going to stay for a month, and then I'm flying back with her to the East Coast, back to the D.C. area. So I'll be gone in January for 10 days back to D.C. Between Christmas and New Year's, one of the lovely ladies that we met on a cruise is coming up from Santa Barbara. She's going to visit with us for a week. So we're going to have Sandy and we're going to have Karen. And next weekend, we have some friends from Olympia coming up, a couple that we dearly love. You may know the name Burl Collie. Well, Burl and Denise are coming up. Burl used to do the ACB tours for conventions, so they're coming next weekend. So we'll have Sandy, Burl, and Denise next weekend. So we're just very excited to be opening our home to friends and at Christmas time. But what a Christmas this is for me this year. I am so happy to be able to say that I have my family again after losing touch with family for so long. And, you know, things happen in life, and life takes us down many interesting roads. And if you are separated from your family for whatever reason, misunderstanding, perhaps a feeling of not having something, not having things in common, all I can say to you is try to fix it. Because there is no one like your family. And to know that my brother was listening to the show tonight through the whole show, you know, it's just a pretty darn cool thing. I love what I do on ACB Radio. And to know that now there's someone who's known me longer than anyone in the world. And who's known me longer than anyone in the world. Now knows a little bit about what I love. It's just pretty darn cool. Certainly made my Christmas. So what I want to say, everybody, is have a great week. And find somebody who needs you. And do something special for them. Because when you do that, it's going to come back to you many, many times fold. So just reach out. Look around you. Find somebody who needs you. We all have a gift that we can bring to this table. And this is the time of year to give that gift. I'm Marlena. I'll see you next week, right here at the mainstream of ACB Radio. Have a great week. I love you, Joda.
Merry Christmas, Nancy.